And that's all we've got time for tonight, guys. Thanks for tuning in for the show. No, I'm only joking. G'day, everyone. Welcome back to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. One of us obviously in a very good mood, the other not so much. You can take a guess as to who. But we are still here regardless to recap everything we just saw in round 19. Before we get into all that and more, let me hand over to my very happy co-host to say g'day and review all of our best bets.
G'day, mate. I'm sorry. I said to you just before, sorry about the tough loss. Honestly, it doesn't even feel great to win that way. We just saw the end of Titans-Dolphins, obviously, 23-21 in Golden Point, but we'll save the best till last. I'd be happy either way because this was a really great pod weekend. Only five games, and I only really keyed in on two that I had a strong opinion on, but what I'm really pleased about for round 19 was just the ability to maximize the profits and the returns out of those two games. And you had winners in two games as well for your all or nothing challenge. And that was actually Thursday, Friday, which we can get to as well. But Sharkies and Raiders, comfortable enough winners. Didn't have it all their own way. But Saturday was where I really liked New Zealand and I liked the Bulldogs. And I will just kind of put the summary up on the screen because it's not about, you know, gloating or, you know, not acknowledging that we've had our struggles this year. It's more just that you do want to celebrate and you deserve to celebrate when you get it right. So the mixed matchup, we won by what, like 30 points. We won within 15 minutes of the Bulldogs game. They only had to chase 10 points there. That's $2.35. We win the Eels best bet. We win the Bulldogs best bet. We win the bonus tip Bulldogs head to head, 265. We win the same game multi, 525. Karaz scoring and Bulldogs to win outright. Boy, my heart nearly stopped at the end of that game, but we'll go game by game. And to cap it all off, I even gave a bonus multi and had obviously the Warriors and Bulldogs, even an AFL, another Bulldogs did the right thing by us in the AFL there. I took on the top of the ladder and we only just scraped through. Thank goodness we did because we won a $6.65 multi. And depending on how you used your rocket, you may have gone even better. So I am a happy camper, mate. Then today, if you're in the Tripod group, I even tipped reserve grade, Queensland Cup, I tipped the Dolphins and they did beat Tweed by 2 points. And then I watched my first grade Finns win by two as well. So yeah, safe to say I've had a fantastic weekend, mate. Probably a little bit better than yours.
Yeah, mate, my weekend was perfect as well. You know, as you said, we picked every game. We got our bets right. One of us was going to be happy or disappointed no matter what, as soon as we went live here. But yeah, outside of that, mate, can't complain. Great weekend, great UFC card today with our Aussie champion remaining on top. And to your point, it's not about to gloat at all because whether we win all those bets or we lose all those bets, we're still going to come on here and share it with you all. That's just the nature of it. But let's get into the round specifically. Thursday night, it was the Sharks v. the Tigers. Sharkies got up with a 36-12 win. I went with Nicho Hynes for my MVP in this one. He had three try assists and one try of his own. The only real knock on Nicho at this stage of the season is that he's only really putting in, these huge performances against bottom eight sides. But an unexpected first half, you'd have to say. And I was very close in my Clarkie's all or nothing challenge to taking Sharks halftime and full-time. So really lucky we went the other way there. Otherwise, that would have been really disappointing. But the second half to this one just went to script. It's exactly what we expect. Sharkies very good against bottom eight sides. Tigers, not really an 80-minute side at this point. The turning point for me, and we spoke about this privately, is the Tommy Talau no try. The Tigers are just a side where as soon as they face that adversity or that tough moment, they're unable to turn it around. They're unable to say, well, that's unlucky. Let's get back to our process and eventually we'll get another opportunity. Whereas for the Sharkies, they drew away late, continue their great form against bottom eight sides. And in the end, they comfortably cover that. Well, not comfortably, sorry, but they do cover that 22.5 line, which was huge. But I had you see this one.
Well, yeah, that was crazy. This line was 21.5, 22.5, 23.5 through the week. I saw it actually closed 24.5, which is very crucial because then it came down to the final conversion by Nicho Hynes after the siren. And luckily for people who took the largest available line right at the end, Nicho didn't really have his kicking boots on in this game. In fact, he pulled his boot off at one stage for a celebration. That was a cool part of round 19 was the July celebrations. But how crazy that the cover basically came down to the final, or did come down to the final play of the game. And even there, contentious try, where a lot of people would say Katoa potentially did not get a clean grounding on that. It was a good effort by Buller. On that note of Katoa, I said on Wednesday, don't know if you're just going to be able to throw in all your try scorers and just guarantee a big Sharks win. Well, the Sharks did win big and they did score seven tries, But isn't it funny? Katoa had three of them a week ago. Every player on the team, just about apart from Katoa, got in on the action. And this time he gets a lot of multiples where maybe it would have been hard to get all your correct try scorers. But you're right. Now, I might have lost Clarkey there, but I think he may have rejoined the stream. But how I saw this game, so the Sharks
shootout.
You're right, mate. The Sharks were up 12-0 first half, and it looked like any score was possible because, of course, the Tigers were coming off losing 74-0 just 5 days earlier. But then the Tigers fight back and get a couple before half time. They had not scored since the Alex Twoll game a few minutes into that Storm match at Leichhardt a couple of rounds ago. So suddenly the Tigers had new life. As you said, they were level at the break. And while the Sharkies got back in front, you're exactly right. Like, Tommy Talau skies for a bomb, appears to catch it and score. Now, I'm telling you, that was with like 20 to go, maybe 25. If it's 18-all, like, it's such a different game. Like, I'm sure the Sharks class would have prevailed, but the Sharks might have won the game 1-12. Like, if the Tigers have still in it, it's just that once that try was disallowed, the Sharks then scored off a bomb a minute later, like the very next set, and then pulled away and broke the Tigers' spirits and got a couple of late ones that covered the line as well. So that's how it goes sometimes. I actually think I was right in warning people that this game could be more competitive than expected, even though the Sharkies did ultimately cover the widespread line, certainly the line at the time we previewed on Wednesday.
Yeah, that was my thoughts as well. I messaged you when it was getting close to full time, and I was like, are they going to cover the line or not? And ultimately, it was a try in the last 5 minutes that got it home. So if you did take that line, I'm sure you were extremely nervous, and I'm sure at halftime you would have been maybe even considering cashing out because they weren't looking too flash hot at that stage. My apologies for dropping out there, guys. I've just told everyone to get off the internet. But Friday night, it was Dragons v Raiders. Raiders got up 36-26. My MVP was Matty Tomoko, brilliant with two tries, 200-plus metres. Raiders' biggest win streak in 2023 before this game was 8. It's now 10. So they're still yet to record a 13-plus victory this year.
Not win streak, but win margin.
Win margin, sorry. My apologies. That would be a very different story. But it's not so much that their opponents are really testing them and the Raiders have just had such a tough draw. You know, we're past that now. And we're in round 19. It's their own inability to really put in that 80-minute performance. I do wonder, by the time we...
Not sure if it's just me or if we're all wondering the question that Clarkie's going to be asking there. He may be struggling with his neighbor's Wi-Fi. So I'll jump in to this one because I want to say as well, on Wednesday, I talked about whether or not I'd play Sharks, Tigers, or how I saw Dragons, Raiders, and ultimately didn't come in with a bet on either of those matches. I said I thought that Sharks line is maybe should be about 20, and they would have won the game by exactly 20 if not for that late contentious try. And then I said, I see this game, the line, I can't justify beyond 10, and it is ultimately a 10-point Raiders margin. And this is another funny one where if you did play the line, which was 11.5, maybe even gets to 12.5, and certainly a lot of people would have gone Raiders 13+. You think you're sitting pretty there. The Raiders were winning. I'll scoot over. We'll see if we can get Clarkey back. But the Raiders were winning this game 18-0 and look like they're just going to blow the Dragons away. And then it's, I think, three tries in the space of 5 minutes in the second half. Suddenly the Dragons are within 4 points in this thing and had all the running with 20 to go. I really thought the Dragons could pull the upset. Late try, I think it's Seb Chris. That try, which was kind of against the run of play that got the Raiders back in front, helps them secure the win. And crazily, even though it was another tight game, as Clarkey said, that was their biggest winning margin of the season. Now, if Clarkey is able to get his computer running, he'll hop back in at any point. Otherwise, I've just got to steer the ship. So bear with me, guys. I'll be could be barbecuing alone. So if you guys can throw anything into the chat as well, I can bounce off you guys. But Harry Potter says Clarkey's dropped the ball just like the Titans. So we won't go too hard on him because I know he would be hurting. But, yeah, it's a tight win by the Raiders. I think, again, I said I wouldn't be surprised if we get some close games Thursday, Friday. And the final scores don't quite tell you how close each of those games were. As I say, Tigers within a level at halftime, thought they were 18-all. And then this game, Dragons, surge of tries in the second half, down 4, nearly could have come back and won. But, you know, Raiders doing their thing, winning these tight games. It's going to go a long way to securing them a spot in the top eight, if not even higher up the ladder. Now, Saturday was where we really butted our bread with the Warriors winning 46-10. And at the time, I gave out the best bet of Parramatta team total under 19.5 on Wednesday. We thought it would be quite unlikely that Sean Johnson would travel over with the team, partner expecting the second child. And, that, you know, understandably, he wouldn't want to risk being caught in a different country at that time. But I still wanted to go against Parramatta. So the reason I didn't go Warriors line, which was 3.5 at the time, I just felt as soon as I take Warriors -3.5, Johnson will be officially out and it'll be Pickham. And then even though I still said I would still pick the Warriors to win, even if Johnson's out, it wouldn't have been a good line. So I liked the way we attacked it, taking the Eels total under, and we went against the Eels for the mixed matchup as well. Because as I said, the Eels had so many key players out, and I have seen some comments coming in, which, you know, Alex's Warriors could only play what was put in front of them. Yeah, so that's defending the Warriors. But I saw a couple of comments here. Roger says, why is everyone talking up the Warriors when the Eels effectively played their New South Wales Cup side, right? And I've seen a couple of comments like that. Liam, we only lost, and he's got an Eels logo. We only lost because we had Gutho Moses and RCG out. Do you agree? And here's the thing. I completely agree. But it's easy to say in hindsight, oh, Eels had a New South Wales Cup side. Well, if it was that obvious, you have to bet big against them. You know, like it wasn't that obvious to everyone leading into this game because I saw plenty of people picking Parramatta. The line was still under a converted try, which really means it's anybody's game. So I do agree. We talked about that the Eels were pretty unlucky just with the direction that Freddie went in his Origin selections, you know, out of left field taking Gutho, as well as obviously because Cleary is injured, Moses is in there. You knew they'd lose a prop, right? But still, you know, additionally losing those spine players. And I keep saying it, Dylan Brown is out, even Hodgson is out at the moment. So the Eels didn't have a lot to offer in attack in this game. The only thing going for the Parramatta, I really thought, was they were at home and they were off a bye, so they could be more fresh and bring energy in, whereas the Warriors did play the week before and had to travel. But the Warriors, I think they really wanted to make the game count. I think they were inspired by the fact that Sean Johnson, you know, was willing to take that chance and come over and not let the team down. And potentially make that massive sacrifice, and they couldn't let that opportunity go to waste. And they just had the eye of the tiger, you know. And the Warriors, after losing by 30 or 26 points to the Rabbitohs a week earlier, where I just said you've got to take your hat off to South Sydney in that game, and New Zealand got punked, and some people were questioning how good are New Zealand really. I don't know if they're top four caliber, but they could still knock on the door there. They're definitely good enough to play finals footy, and I think they will. And they have been pretty lucky, as you would expect. No players in contention for Origin, but also just have not copped any major injuries in the last few weeks. And they've been able to keep picking the same squad, and the squad's really bought in. And once they kind of smelt blood in this one and realized Parramatta had no answer, they just kept piling it on. It was 30-4. At half time in this one, and then the Warriors didn't give Parramatta a sniff in the second half. So that cashed a multi-leg, it cashed a best bet, and it put us in a super position for the mixed matchup, which then rolled into the second half of the doubleheader on Saturday night, which was the Bulldogs winning 36-32 over the Bunnies. This was a game and a half. Now, when I give out best bets, you know, over the course of a season, I might like some more than others. I really don't get in the habit of saying, oh, yeah, this is like a really good best bet. If you watch, you might be able to tell in my voice or, you know, my expressions how confident I am. But you can also probably tell how strongly I feel in a best bet just by what I say and how many reasons I say that I think a game's in our favor. And when I'm coming out and telling you, not only do I like the Rabbitohs +4.5 at $2.02, you know, on Dabble, I think they win. I think the wrong team is favoured. I think that the Rabbitohs should be a favourite. And when I'm switching the same game multi and saying, I don't feel strongly about Friday night, let's play our same game multi on Saturday night because I just want to get at the Bulldogs and I'm taking them straight up to win and I'm taking Karaz. And then I give you an extra multi and I want to combine the Warriors and Bulldogs picks together and let's have a multi. And, you know, we get lucky because I don't know a great deal about AFL, but there was a good line available on Dabble Friday night. We got the winner there. So we won that. And I even tipped, as I said before, that Bulldogs tip. I mean, that's me. I can't be more clear that I really liked the Dogs. And then having said all that, they nearly lost. Now, the cover was never really in doubt. The Bulldogs led this, not from start to finish, because the Rabbitohs did score the only try, but the Bulldogs were leading 24-12 at the break. Always had the Rabbitohs kind of at arm's length in the second half. Looked really sharp. In attack, the Bulldogs actually quite exciting. And I thought Sexton had a great club debut. Burton looks so much better at 5'8". You know, Marnie's a gun player. Their wide running forwards are handfuls, and they've got some explosive outside backs. Avarillo at fullback was pretty good, and Kiraz, and the new fella Wilson on the wing as well, nabs a hat trick if you don't mind. So I felt great about this. I felt like the Dogs were winning the whole way. We're getting home the whole way. It wasn't really too fast, but maybe I should have remembered that about 6 weeks ago, the Rabbitohs were dead and buried against the Dragons and scored 3 tries in 4 minutes between like the 76th and 79th minute to come back from the dead against the Dragons. And it happened again in this game. So the Bulldogs ultimately are leading by 14 points with dead set less than 4 minutes to go, like 3 minutes something to go, right? And the Rabbitohs get on the attack, little grubber in behind. And now Munro, this young, star of the future, the speed star out on the wing, playing his second game, dives for the kick and scores. And this is how confident I was. I'd already made up all my celebration graphics to post on the Tripod page. So maybe you can blame me for jinxing. But when Munro grounds that ball, which just cut a 14-point lead to 10, I said, nice finish, young fella. I was impressed, and I was like having a little chuckle and saying, great play. Glad I didn't tip something bold like Dogs 13 plus, because it probably should have won, but it's not going to now. Then the Dogs kick off and the Rabbitohs score off the kickoff. This is reminding me of like those crazy finishes against the Roosters from, a decade ago, when those two sides, every game had to come down to the final minute. So the Rabbitohs dead set score off the kickoff. Suddenly it's a 4-point game and there's still like 2 minutes and a bit to go, and the Rabbitohs are receiving the ball. Not only do they get the ball, they shift it out to the right wing and make a line break down the right. And luckily the Dogs can scramble. And then just when the Dogs have defended a whole set, the ref waves 6 again for being inside the 10. Now the Rabbitohs, who've just scored 10 points in the blink of an eye and are down 4 and have just had a full set that included a line break, are now at knocking on the Bulldogs' door. The Bulldogs are probably shell-shocked. The Bulldogs, the commentators are saying, oh, that winning's a habit. They don't really know how to win. The Bulldogs have got to hold the Rabbitohs out for 6 more tackles on their try line, where Blake Taff, I thought, obviously, why was I so confident in the Bulldogs? The main reason isn't so much about the Bulldogs. I understand they lost 66-0 last week, but I didn't mind that because I like the bounce-back factor. I like the motivation and the focus. But I talked about it in the preview. I mean, Latrell Mitchell's still out. Campbell Graham's out for a few more weeks. Cookie, Walker, Cam Murray, Kalamatangi, all in Origin, right? So who are the Rabbitohs throwing the ball to? How are they scoring 32 points? And it really was Blake Taff. Blake Taff showed that the Bulldogs had no answer for him. And luckily, in terms of, the value play and in terms of the same game multi, the Dogs did scramble, and ultimately Sexton, as I said, good club debut, falls on a loose ball off a little kick in behind on the final play of the game. And that's just enough for the Rabbitohs for the Bulldogs to cling on to a great win and cap off an awesome Saturday night for the pod. So hopefully if you guys, that's what means so much to me. You guys have stuck with us all this season, and I wish the results had been better, but always felt like when I thought the walls were caving in, it was more just not, it wasn't terrible losing streaks or anything, but it was just mediocrity. It was just we could never stack wins. We're going win for loss or whatever. But now we've won 3 mixed matchups in a row. We're winning actually a ridiculous amount of these same game multis. Just win a couple of best bets. This was a game I even considered, do I go 2 best bets? But I just felt like we've gone 1 best bet per game all year. We stick to it. We don't have to try and win it all back in 1 week. But now we're on profit on all fronts, which is a great feeling. And I had an out-of-body experience watching that final set. Like, it all happened so quickly that I was genuinely just, like, stunned. And I think my heart literally stopped, or at least skipped a few beats on that final play. But luckily, the Dogs, who should have won by a comfortable margin, did cling on and win anyway. And 36 points, more than enough for the mixed matchup. As I said, once they scored their second try in the 14th minute, we'd already been paid out. And that leads us to the Winnie Clarkey Cup. Now, I'm going to check my phone here. He says, can't get online. Sorry, man. We all know the truth, which is Clarkey probably just too sick to his stomach to talk about this game. But I'd love to hear what you guys thought. Harry Potter says, can you post the mixed matchup and multis on here? Don't have Facebook or any of that. So the mixed matchup is on the show every single Wednesday. The multis, you could also check Discord. We do post on Instagram as well. But yes, Facebook is generally the first place the multis are going to go up, right? Especially the Facebook group. You're not going to miss anything if you're in there. But I understand not everyone's on Facebook. Maybe you have Discord. Other than that, I can't really come up with the multis on Wednesday as well. Sometimes we'll share a best bet, and then the best bet could move the market, and then that would make it hard to place a multi, for example. So I actually let the market settle down and then come up with a multi literally on Friday, which is, makes it even harder to profit on multis. But we have actually done better this year on multis than we have on best bets. So never want to hide anything. I want to make it as easy as possible for people to find everything that we've shared out and get on, you know, if you like it. And as I say, the people who are following that have stuck it out this far, hopefully you are, you did get to reap some of the rewards. So today we just had the single header game, although I wanted a bit more extra footy fix. And I saw that the feeder clubs, the Tweed Seagulls and Redcliffe Dolphins were playing before this. So I did share out the Redcliffe Dolphins at Pickham with no Toby Sexton for Tweed anymore. And that's a game where the Queensland Cup Dolphins scored 18 in a row and looked great, and then conceded 18 in a row. And then it ended up being a level scores, and the Dolphins got a penalty late and kicked the penalty to win the game. Sound familiar? It was a precursor to the main event, which was obviously Titans Finns. And this was back and forth as well. Dolphins are in front early, but then the Titans find their way to a halftime lead, as they have in a lot of games this year. And it's that same old story of a Titans halftime lead. Now, in this case, wasn't double digits, but it was 8 points. But you've just got to hand it to the Dolphins. You know, it was a weird game because both of the teams had like a lot of their best players out. So you're kind of looking, you know, who's going to step up, and Wayne Bennett benched Katoa at halftime. Anthony Milford comes in and actually had a whale of a second half performance, and maybe he's forced his way into the team. You know, Sean O'Sullivan, I think Nick Arima just looks so composed out there. But I'm glad that Harry Potter just commented Jaden Campbell too, because I believe Jaden Campbell set the club record, the historical record for most meters in a game. And he was probably the reason that I thought the Titans should be favored in this game, because he felt like the player that could be the difference, and he probably should have been. You know, you could not blame Jaden Campbell on this result, man. He was immense. He was unbelievable. And I still think Campbell should be the Titans fullback. If it's up to me, I'd be playing Brimson in the halves. But I don't know, Billy Slater just picked Brimson at fullback for Queensland, so he's got trust there. And I'm sure Billy Slater can judge fullbacks better than me. But geez, you've got an embarrassment of riches there with both those players. You've got to find a way to fit them both in the team somehow. Now, I really thought that the Dolphins might have had blown this one, because although they did end up winning, they had scored 4 tries to 2, but only led the game by 6 points. I kind of blame Try July with Izako scoring a try. And I think he was more hyped about his try celebration than he was about kicking the goal, because he went over there for the conversion attempt. It's a crucial kick. You're up 6, chance to go up 8 with a few minutes to go. And he just completely bottled the kick. It was never online and just hooked even further away. Like, it's pretty uncharacteristic. One of the best goal kickers in the comp. And, you know, I know people in our group are sweating on him for top point scorer. I know Wayne was stone-faced as ever, but I thought that could be the moment that comes back to bite the Dolphins. And sure enough, the Titans did level the scores. So it was 20-all. And then Izako maybe redeems himself with the field goal that puts the Finns 1 in front with 5 to go, but the Titans got another opportunity. It was Tanner Boyd that leveled it 21-all. We get extra time. We go back and forth, and the Titans open the door for the Dolphins, spilling it with a minute to go in the first period. And it's actually Isako that shanks the field goal, but he was getting a lot of pressure from Aaron Clark. And Atkins does the pretty ballsy thing. And people can, comment if they didn't like the call. I know you hate to see a game decided like that, but Aaron Clark is like 3 or 4 meters offside, like went blatantly early. And I know that on almost any crucial field goal attempt, going to be pushing the boundaries and they are going to be potentially jumping early. But I feel like you will get away with being offside by a meter, like being a step early, or then they're unlikely to penalize like the markers if they're maybe not square because they're obviously just trying to shoot and get in front of the field goal. But if you go back and watch the replay, Aaron Clark is under the post. He's standing beside the ref and he shot early. And then the ref has actually called him a couple of times. And he's actually the player that puts the pressure on Isako that probably forces the missed kick. So I think you have to call that. And I think we have to be okay with that. It has to set a precedent and people have to remember the rules do still apply if we get into, you know, golden point games down the line. So not the way I necessarily want to win this game, but that's 2-0 in the Winnie Clarkey Cup. I'll certainly take it. Pretty brave win by the Finns. Once they were down, you know, more than a converted try in the second half to not go away. The Finns hadn't won a game since like round 12, round 13. So it's been a minute. So feels good. I don't think either of these sides are going to be playing finals. But, you know, in your debut season, every win is kind of memorable and special. And I certainly know the first time the Finns beat the Titans is a win I'll never forget. But this was a great one as well. So sorry, Clarkey. And I have won my side bet there as well. So my young fella is going to be getting some more Dolphins kit of his own. So that's how I saw the round, guys. Just a short recap, but it was only 5 games. And I know everyone's already thinking Origin, and you'll see me pretty soon. So just in 2 nights' time with Clarkey, we'll fix his internet. And we'll be back 6:30 p.m. to preview Origin 3. Maybe a dead rubber, but it's still an Origin game. It's still one team that's gone for a clean sweep, which is, you know, they don't happen too often. Another side desperate to avoid it. Plenty to talk about, plenty of superstar players involved, and I'm sure some angles we can get at to find some value and enjoy the game even more. So as the Absolute says, enjoy your week. Thank you, and same to you, mate. I hope everyone has a great week. And, you know, thanks for following along and getting behind the show as always, guys. You guys are the reason that it's worth, you know, putting in the work every week. I know people say great work on the tips when they win and people say the opposite when they lose, but the work goes in every week and it's worth it, especially for weekends like this. So we'll talk again on Tuesday, guys. Take care and Lego.